This is Bedside, a podcast series on a mission to debunk sex. I'm your host, Tatiana, and each week we'll uncover stories, ideas, routines, and expert information to help guide you on your ever-evolving journey of good sex. We believe that through democratizing sexual wellness, we can shift cultural taboos and make way for authentic and limitless access to pleasure, joy, and connection to the body. Today on the podcast, I'm really excited to be in conversation with Lindsay Simsek. Lindsay, as many of you may be familiar with, is the co-host of the podcast series Almost 30, and I'm thrilled to have her on the show today to talk about her latest endeavor and passion project, the sacredness of being single. Some may say that Lindsay is an expert at in-betweening, a term we dive into deeply on the show today. It's what got her started on her podcasting journey and continues her curiosity in all things wellness, spirituality, and growth. On today's episode, Lindsay shares with Bedside what she coins as one of her most sacred times of in-betweening, the six-year period in which she was single. This time and evolution was so powerful and transformative for her that she created an entire playbook on the topic. But what Lindsay wants you to know is that rather than look at singlehood as a mere transition, she wants you to see it as the main event, one that sets the tone for every other relationship in your life. On the show today, Lindsay shares her personal story of finding her partner, but more importantly, finding herself along the way. We unpack the judgment and pressures around being single, and Lindsay reframes for us how we can better begin to collaborate with our soul desires, redefine our need stories, and take back the narrative of the season of singlehood. I can't wait for you to hear today's conversation. I know it will expand you to continue to choose yourself. Please give a warm welcome to Lindsay Simsek. Lindsay, welcome to the show. I am absolutely thrilled to have you here, and I just can't wait to get into our conversation today. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm so honored to be here. And I feel like I have never done a show where I am really exclusively talking about what we're going to talk about today. So I'm really excited to go deep on this.
I hear you. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I really felt like I wanted to take, you know, your expertise and the stuff that you do and really like hone in and go a little bit deeper than probably what most people are used to hearing from you. So I can't wait to chat. I mean, and you know, before we get into everything, I'd love to just get a quick little life update from you. Where are you in the world? Like, how are you feeling these days? We're in the middle of re-entry. It's kind of like, it's a lot going on.
A lot going on. And I decided to move across the country during all of this. But I am in Brooklyn, New York, and just feeling so at home here. I'm really, really grateful to move from LA to New York is no small feat. And while my mantra throughout it, or my affirmation throughout it, was just like, this is really easy. This is an ease-filled process and I'm having fun doing it. And while that was true most of the time, there were definitely moments when it wasn't that way. But I really love these big, big life events, like a huge move, because it tends to turn you inside out. You know, I've had many an emotional moment since moving, during the move. And while it's not always easy, it does feel cleansing, you know, and it felt much needed to release some, you know, whether it's old thought patterns or whether it's old beliefs or relationships or what have you. I feel much better on the other side. So yeah, I am here, and the podcast is like still continuing. I have to say that because some people are like, are you guys breaking up? It's like, no. We adapt and we continue. And then I'm living with my boyfriend, Sean, and things are just awesome.
Well, I mean, that's huge because, and I mean, this touches on our conversation today, but you are now living with your partner who you've been long distance with for a while too.
Yeah. Long distance for about a year and a half. We've known each other for 8 years, but when we reunited, I was living in LA. He was living in New York, has always lived in New York. So it was actually a really beautiful way to start a relationship, I think, because the long distance really challenged us to be intentional when we did get to speak. And he doesn't like small talk. So it was always like we would schedule a FaceTime or a phone call where we were able to really go deep on our day, how we're feeling. We would share our highs and lows. We would ask each other questions we've never asked each other before. We even started a book club together so that we can connect once a week on what we were reading and just kind of get to know each other through reading a book, really. So that first year and a half, although it was hard at times, I always hated leaving him. It was a wonderful like transition period into now us living together. And I'm really thankful. I'm really, really thankful for it. I feel like you can make it as hard or as easy as you want. I was always super intentional with just feeling like so grateful for what we were able to do when we were able to travel and spend time together, when we were able to have, you know, long phone calls, or we would send each other emails, like just finding what really made me happy and fulfilled about the long distance was my focus.
You know, and I mean, it really, and I can't wait to like dig into this a little bit more with you, honestly, as we kind of chat further, but I think speaking really candidly here, a lot of us lean, and I don't blame any of us, this is kind of the way that a lot of people have been cultured, a lot of women specifically have been cultured, you know, you kind of lean in first with being able to be physically there all the time, like physically using your body to lure somebody in and like, you know, prove, right? And you reverse the entire process, which is so amazing. And it shows, honestly, the flexibility of what relationships can look like and be like for so many people. And thank you for even sharing that bit of your story, because I think it's so important for people to hear. We don't have to date the way that we think we need to be dating. We don't have to like put out the way that we think we need to put out. And so what a great story just to lead in with that.
Yeah, it was unlike any relationship I had ever been in, because to your point, I was leading so much of the time with the physical, you know, whether it was to vet the person, I'm like, oh, let's be physical really early on so that I can see if we have chemistry. Or it was a way for me to convince the person that I'm amazing or something, yeah. You know, whatever it was.
Like, I'm so good. These are all my like list of attributes and you can't deny it, you know?
Uh-huh. Exactly. And what was actually happening was I was truly uncomfortable with stepping up and showing up as my full self. And so I was leading with these little parts of me that weren't the whole me, so that they could see those things mainly rather than, you know, the thing I'm working on about myself or my little bad habit, whatever it is. I wanted to lead with the quote perfection. And I've been thinking a lot about how perfection is showing up in my own life recently, because moving in together, that has popped up where I'm like, no, this has to be perfect. And even though I'm not saying it out loud, I'm acting as such. All that to say, yes, it was such a blessing to take the physical everyday interaction in person out of it so that we could really have like that heart connection, even if it was on the phone, over Zoom, whatever it was, because we were able to really listen and witness each other rather than fill the space with, you know, being physical with one another.
Well, so for anybody listening who isn't quite sure about what we're about to get into together, I just want to preface that Lindsay is one of the co-hosts of Almost 30, an incredible podcast, which I'm sure many of you know of. And if you don't, you absolutely must go check it out. But Lindsay in the past year has been working really, really hard on creating a new course. She's been talking so much about the sacredness of being single. And it's all about really demystifying singlehood. You know, there's so much, as we've just touched on momentarily here, there's so much stigma, there's so much taboo, there's so many like quote unquote rules around dating and ideas behind being single. And, you know, I'm so happy that you had this soul calling to do this work, because an incredible amount of people are in these positions and they feel these things and they don't know how to navigate and they feel alone. And I think especially as we've been living in isolation, like the alone, the singularity, loneliness factor just has felt so magnified. And so I'm excited to just really go deep into this course and this work you've created and of course your own experience here. So I'd really just love for you to tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah. So just a little backstory. I was in a long-term relationship from my sophomore year of college to about 2 years, 2.5 years outside of college. And I thought I was going to marry this person. Like, I was sure of it. I would have bet all my money on it. And, you know, I feel like that's not uncommon to, you know, have a high school and or college sweetheart more so and feel like, wow, this is the one. I thought I knew myself. I thought I knew it all. And during the later half of this relationship, I just started getting these like pings where, you know, I just felt very strongly that this wasn't right. And I did not have the language or the skills to communicate this with him and or give it a chance to improve or work together to grow. It was very black and white to me where I was like, wait, this isn't right. I see some red flags. And so instead of, you know, having healthy communication and either giving it a chance and working together or just parting ways, I ended up cheating on him. And I really blew up the relationship. I betrayed him. I hurt him. I really hurt myself in doing that as well. And it just sent me into like a really, really dark place. I was in a bout of depression. I was drinking a ton. I was sleeping around. I just did not respect myself at all. I was so disturbed by what I had done and just felt like I didn't deserve to be loved. I didn't deserve a healthy relationship. So when I came out of that, or as I was starting to come out of that, I was starting to ride a soul cycle. Long story short, I became an instructor. That brought me out to LA. And I feel like that was the moment that, you know, really began a very long period of being single. So it was about 6-7 years that I was single. And during that time, most of the time, I was searching outside of myself for the answers. I was searching outside of myself for the validation, for people to tell me who I was. And I was just getting it all wrong. I was experiencing a lot of heartbreak, disappointment, and just misalignment in my relationships. I was attracting not who I wanted to be with, although I was attracting people who would confirm how I felt about myself. Didn't really respect myself, didn't really feel worthy. And it was being reflected in the people that would come into my life. And then, you know, I remember one night I was living by myself and I was doing my like nighttime rituals, and I really made this Friday night about me. And I remember feeling that resistance. I remember feeling like, ugh, like, what am I missing out on? Like, should I text my friends? Like, I know they're out. Should I just go out and see if I'm gonna meet someone? Like, I was literally going anywhere and everywhere to try and meet my husband. And I was like, no, I'm gonna stay home. I'm gonna cook myself dinner. I'm gonna take a bath. I'm gonna watch my favorite movie. I'm gonna do all the cheesy but amazing self-care things that I know I deserve. And I remember this hump that I went over where it went from like FOMO and like discomfort to like settling in to being with myself. And I just felt something shift where I was like, oh, like, I really love you. I really love myself, you know, and I love being with myself. And so I was really committed from that point on to prioritizing myself, whether it was with self-care or just in relationships and conversation where normally I would mold myself to be what the other person needed. And I just began that journey of being myself always and knowing that that is a gift to other people rather than trying to not be myself. So all that to say, I really truly experienced the power of appreciating, honoring, and leveraging this season when you are single and using it as this path to walk back to yourself. Because in relationships and childhood and our programming in school, whatever, we lose ourselves. You know, we're told what to do, how to be, what to strive towards. And we kind of lose who we really are. And so this sacredness of being single is really about like the sacredness of who you really are and peeling back all of those layers for that to be revealed and truly embodied. So yeah, I am coming from a place of experience and belief that if we take this season seriously and walk back to ourselves, we will be more fulfilled. If love is what you are looking for, you will absolutely find a partner who loves who you really are and so much more. I feel like it affects every aspect of your life.
Wow. And I mean, as you touched on the idea of programming and, you know, the way that you were conditioned growing up and then wanting, you know, having the ability and choice to reprogram later, I'm curious what your education, like sex education, you know, dialogue and models for relationships was like growing up. Like what was that like for young Lindsay?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I went to an all-girls private Catholic school starting in 7th grade to 12th. So yeah, we didn't really talk about sex. We didn't have sex education in a way that empowered. It basically scared you and shamed you into either not having sex or, you know, triggered some people into wanting to rebel against, rather than educating us and having us make informed choices. So
do you remember any of those like tactics? Some people remember them so clearly. That's why I asked.
Yeah, it was, I don't remember them too clearly. I just know that it had like a religious undertone of like, this is what the Bible says, you know, and that's pretty much it. As far as in my household, there were some conversations with my mom about whether it's like our female reproductive health and all of that around the time that I got my period. And then, you know, I lost my virginity at 18 with my high school boyfriend. Unfortunately, there was a girl who didn't really like me in high school, and she basically like told people that had happened. My sisters found out all these things and then told my mom. The joy of just like childhood memories. Literally, I'm like, I laugh now. But I can imagine as a parent, it's shocking and it's scary and it's, oh my God. So, you know, we had a conversation. We didn't go into depth. It was more, I felt the undertone of fear a little bit because, you know, you see the movies and like a teen has sex and then they go off and they do all, you know, it's like not reality always, but she gave me as much education as she could. And I was never irresponsible in that way, but it was definitely not like encouraged. You know what I mean?
I mean, I don't think in like very many American households is stuff like that encouraged.
I know.
You know, and everybody can relate to some sort of slut shaming. And oh my gosh, to have that circle back to your family is, oh my gosh, that's so hard on an 18-year-old. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So much shaming. And yeah, I think, you know, women especially like kind of use it as a tactic to leverage power. You know, it's either like the girl who is sexually active is the coolest one or is the one that's like an outcast because she does so. So it's like you can kind of spin it either way and it just depends on the dynamics within the like groups of people. So it could have spun either way. I could have been the most popular girl, but I was not. I was like, I was shamed and yeah, it was interesting. I don't think it affected me too much, but I definitely felt like I couldn't have like an open conversation about these things with people, friends, family at all.
Right. And that's all we ever want is to be able to have those like super healthy conversations about it, which are like truly, I mean, it's like, I feel like it's only opening up just now. Like it's still so on the cusp of it. And so,
yes.
Gosh, like I just hope other teenagers these days have it a little easier than maybe we did.
I know, I pray. I do.
But you know, you speak a lot to the concept of the in-between, and I'm actually like really excited to chat with you about that too, because you know, the premise of your podcast Almost 30 alludes to that in and of itself, that in between time of being like, I'm almost 30, like what's going on, you know, and that's really probably where you got those ideas and like got those sparks for like there's room for stretching and growing and evolving here. And so, you know, I guess I'd love to hear you chat with us and share with us a little bit about what the in between means for you, and even maybe even relating it back to sacredness.
Yeah, I think just in general, anytime I've felt in between in my life, traditionally or historically, I've always felt scared and a bit ungrounded, you know, wanting the answers, wanting the next step laid out in front of me, wanting to know more. And what I've learned, especially through that season of being single and what I continue to learn now, is this in between, which, you know, I kind of feel like I'm in right now, like with a move and just kind of figuring out like my flow here in New York. I love it because there's infinite possibility in the in between because there are less points of reference because you've never been here before. So I'm less likely to label it, to make assumptions. It's kind of this like disorienting space that really forces me to have the ultimate faith in my path. And I love that. I love that now because, you know, I have that relationship with God and I have that trust in myself because I've been proven time and time again that that is real. And that works. I love it. And I know that it's purposeful and I know that it's going to be fruitful. And what I also know is that the in-between is for more being than doing. So a lot of people who are in-between, whether it's say they're in-between jobs and they're unemployed, and I feel like we are conditioned to do and try to be productive because if we aren't, then the next opportunity will not find us. That might be true in some cases, but what I've learned and the magic of the in-between is that if we trust this time and if we allow ourselves to be just a little bit more, that we unlock a part of ourselves that will either attract or recognize something that we have never been able to before, which then catapults us into the next thing. So it's like, because we busy ourselves so much and trying to numb out during and in between because it's so uncomfortable, we're unable to truly see and sense what is there for us. But if we really come to our center, and we can do this by meditation and being in nature and taking out any distractions, unplugging, even being playful and really like nurturing your inner child, like what do they want to do? That you will unlock that part of you that will bring you to the next level. Because I'm pretty sure on an in-between, you don't want to necessarily go back to where you came from. But if you do what you've always done, then you will. So that's what I've learned about the in-between. It is sacred. It's the magic dark, as Lacey Phillips says, of To Be Magnetic. It's the ultimate. And if we honor it more, I do feel like we will just find more peace and happiness in every part of our path.
I'm so blown away by what you just said because on some level, everybody is experiencing an in-between.
For sure.
Because of what has happened in the past year and a half, like everybody's life has been rocked and resettled and renegotiated in some way, shape, or form, right? And when you just touched on some of those things just there, it made me really think of how, you know, even my own tendencies when I am an in-between, I want to control so badly. Mm-hmm. Like I feel comfortable being able to be the orchestrator and, you know, being able to be like, okay, if I do this thing, then I'll be able to do this with this person. And if I, you know, so much orchestrating and puppeteering, and it has been the greatest lesson of just, you know, as Gabby Bernstein says, like doing less allows you to actually do more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so hard to do that, especially when you've been conditioned to live in such a masculine world, to be in like the, and I say that in like an energetics way, like the way that our society operates is so masculine. It's so like, do this, plan this, wake up at 5 a.m., work out, then la 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 la, instead of like honoring that feminine side that is a little bit more passive, that is like,
yes,
being instead of doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I guess my question for you, And maybe I'll even like selfishly ask this, right? If somebody is fresh to in-betweening, if this feels like one of the first times they're really, really up-leveling, they're like, okay, like a change has to be made. I need a miracle. Like I need to trust into this. You know, you're speaking to this trust muscle that you have, right? You're like, you know, I know when this comes up that there's something on the other side. But for somebody who's like, I can't even, like, I hope there's something on the other side, but I don't even, like, this hurts so bad to trust and lean into. What is your advice?
Yeah, I heard you say need a couple times. And I feel like people, when they're experiencing or in an in-between, especially in a single season, I hear it a lot where it's like, I need a partner in order to be happy, in order to feel loved. I need to find them because I'm getting older. I need, you know, all these needs. And my friend Brie Melanson once channeled, our needs are our blocks. So it really inspired me to kind of look at my need stories. And I actually had the girls in the program look at their need stories that are keeping them stuck in old patterns. And I found that like the needing is keeping us from what we truly desire. Because usually the need isn't even ours. You know what I mean? It's like, I need to find my partner because blah, 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 whatever the story is. It's like, so either you were taught that or you've seen that. So you think you need it because otherwise you won't be safe or you won't be happy or you won't be this or that. And like very infrequently do we connect with our inner knowing and our inner desires, really what our soul is asking for, and ask and really hear what those desires are. Because sure, maybe it is that desire to be in partnership, but it's a little bit different than needing it so bad because you need it conditionally to be happy. Maybe it's just, oh, I will be further be embodied in a partnership and I cannot wait for that, right? Like there's a difference between the energy of I need this and I desire this and I can't wait to have it become reality. And so I had the girls rewrite their need stories. And it was really, really powerful. You know, I think writing down anything, you're able to see and feel the energy of what it actually is. Because when it's in your head and it's pinging around, we believe our thoughts and we believe that our thoughts are us. And so when we write it down, like oftentimes I would write down my need stories. I'm like, oh my God, this isn't me. This isn't me. Like, who is this? I don't really believe that. So yeah, it was just really, really powerful to kind of pick that apart and rewrite it and trust that what my soul had to say about that was true.
I like the concept of really like getting it out of your head, because I think like body, honestly, sometimes I feel like the mind really tries to process any thought, any information, and like make real sense of it. And sometimes there's just no sense to be made. So I love that exercise of just getting it down on paper and seeing it for what it really is. You know, I also want to touch on for a second too the concept of really like being single versus being in partnership. And I want to be careful here not to kind of like put a hierarchy on either. I'd love to just kind of ask you, because I feel it's so interesting. Like we look to singlehood as like a curse and a blessing the same way we do with partnership. We always kind of want what we don't have. Like if you're in a long-term committed partnership, people look back to their single season being like, oh my God, that was so much fun. Wish I could do that again. You know, so I think there's caveats for each, and I really would just like love your thoughts here.
I feel like no matter what season you're in, there are serious blessings to be had. I feel like I have to establish an intention at the top of every day in order to be open to receive those blessings, because yeah, sometimes my human gets, you know, rules the day and is kind of so downtrodden by the current emotional whatever I'm dealing with. And then I kind of have to come back and I'm like, I know that in this moment right here, right now, there's a blessing to be had. So let me shift my lens. Let me put on those glasses so I can actually see and receive it. And once you switch your intention there, everything shifts. I mean, have you ever woken up on the wrong side of the bed or gotten a text that totally threw you off, or a phone call that totally threw you off, or an email that totally threw you off and put you in a bad mood, headspace, spinning, all these things. And then the rest of your day was completely chaotic and you know, you might say you have bad luck or, oh, this always happens to me. I mean, I would argue it's because you were consciously or subconsciously looking for it. You were anticipating it. And so if we can catch ourselves, even if you get that email that throws you off, if we can just be for a moment and ask, what is this feeling really? Where does this feeling come from? And kind of be with that part of ourselves rather than follow the thought and allow the emotion to take over our entire day, we would be much better off and we would be able to turn this ship around much quicker and be able to look for the blessings immediately. So it's a practice. Like I say this because I say it and I also have to practice it every day. It's not always perfect, but I also know how I want to feel. And so if I believe all of those terrible thoughts, I know how I'm going to feel and I know what I'm going to attract into my experience. So I'm very careful, you know, like I'm very careful with the thoughts and the words that I say because it creates my experience and my reality.
100%. And, you know, I kind of want to backtrack for a second here when we were talking about needs and we were talking about like the release of them and the examination of them and, you know, the purpose of them. I'm curious what you, when you were in your singlehood for 6-7 years, you know, and you hit a point where you just realized that something had to change here, something had to give here. And you kind of had that aha moment as you were giving yourself that night on a Friday. You know, what over time was that narrative or need that you had to release? Like what was that for you that you had to transform and reprogram so that you could kind of get to the other side?
I had to release a few. I think, you know, the most prominent one was I need to be in a relationship in order to feel whole, loved, worthy, fill in the blank. And I finally understood in the last couple years of being single that dating was not trying to convince someone to be with you. It wasn't hoping and praying that the next one was the one. Dating is an incredibly brave thing to do. And there's another brave individual that is going to meet you for that date. And you're both willing to put yourselves out there and hopefully open your heart a little bit to be seen and received. And it became a different experience. It really did. Like
it sounds like you're... perspective of it shifted.
Yeah.
Like you created a new context for yourself. Like I just sense it right now where you were even the mindset of saying, wow, we're two brave individuals going out and meeting one another. Like that is a huge mindset shift.
Yes, 100%. And I feel like as I began to love myself more and have more grace for myself and forgive myself, that translated to how I would show up on dates. So previously I'd be really judgmental and judge someone in the first 5 minutes. Very human of me, but like, what if someone's really nervous? What if they had a bad day? What if, you know, like I really was not giving people a chance and like I wasn't offering the grace that I would have wanted, you know? So I just found that like my dating life really reflected how deep I was willing to go with myself, you know, and how honest I was willing to be with myself. I'm forgetting the original question, so remind me, but just riffing, but it's truly powerful when you commit to both. So it's committing to that personal work as you're dating, and then also taking this experience dating and being in front of another person, being witnessed by another person also as like, ah, this is growth. This isn't a failure. This isn't a waste of time. Like this is growth, and how beautiful, how beautiful.
Oh my gosh, there's so much there. I mean, right off the bat, there's such a pillar of faith that you hold. I'd really love to hear about how that has evolved for you and how that kind of showed up for you in this process as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's come full circle a bit. You know, as I said before, I went to an all-girls private Catholic school. I converted to Catholicism in order to go to this school. I don't know. And, you know, I never really felt super connected to the church, but you know, I always felt this sense of something much bigger than us humans. And, you know, my spirituality really took root, I think, when I moved to LA. You know, LA is a place where there are spiritual guides and healers and just this very normal talk about the unseen. And it was really, really freeing for me. So, you know, I've done everything from Reiki to breath work to plant medicine and everything in between. And now the through line to that has been just my faith in something greater, which now I obviously recognize as God. And I kind of needed to do all of those woo-woo LA things. One, because obviously I was called to them for some reason, but they just activated a part of me that truly wanted to know more and go deeper on this, on faith, on my own faith. And, you know, now we have a coach, his name is Aaron Rose. And, you know, we just openly talk about God all the time in our coaching sessions, me and Krista, and just how perfectly orchestrated everything is. And that has definitely just influenced me in more ways than one on my path, where anytime I feel like I'm taking a left turn, I know that I am guided and supported. Anytime I meet a part of myself that I feel shame about, or any hard conversation that I have to have, like, I know that God loves me so much, you know, and that is the most powerful thing. And so, yeah, my faith is super, super important to me. It's also like ever evolving. I have conversations with Sean all the time about God on faith and just how, like, you know, God is like the third person in our relationship. It's like that triad of, like, he's at the top, you know? And so we never feel as though us against each other or just us working together. It's like there is that third powerful being. And that just feels really good. That feels really good to me, you know? Because we can put so much pressure on ourselves as human beings to do it all alone. And we're so not. We're so not alone. So yeah, it plays a huge part.
You've spoken many times to this idea of like a deeper collaboration with yourself. I really want to tie this kind of back into that single period. What did that deeper collaboration, how did that show up for you? And, like, you know, how did that help guide you as you were just learning more about yourself?
You know, the experience of dating was always guiding me to learn more about myself. Whether I was willing or not is another story, but eventually I was willing. And I feel like it was guiding me back to be the thing that I was looking for. You know, like, I have experienced this, and I've heard from so many women who experience this deep sense of loneliness during their single period. And it's just, it's like you feel like your heart is just the heaviest thing. Like, it just feels so empty and can be just really, really, really difficult. And I believe that I felt those really deep feelings of loneliness because I was looking in the wrong places for what I was truly desiring. And I had it all along. Doesn't mean being with a partner is bad or the wrong thing. It's just that I had yet to understand and recognize that, like, I was the one that I was looking for. You know, for so long I was looking outside of myself for someone else, but, like, I really was the one I was looking for. And so that's what I am just so passionate about coaching the girls on, which is, like, you know, there is no way that you will have a healthy relationship if you don't got you. You know, if you have not honored all of the parts of you that you know, the ones that are unprocessed, the ones that are processed, the ones that are shiny, the ones that are rough. Like, if you haven't gone there or are willing to go there, there's no way that you will be able to be in partnership with another human being. It's not possible. Healthy partnership.
I was just going to say, like, I mean, we were talking about this earlier, how, like, you know, a lot of us are conditioned to go into dating or to go into meeting anybody. Like, it, when we're forming any relationship and just showing our best parts, like our finely polished and tuned parts. And we just want to be like, this is me and this is all of me. And, you know, I mean, I mean, it's hard. It's difficult to pull the vulnerability out, even if you don't even have access to it yourself. So I really love looking at this as a process of being able to trust in all of you, that can also be seen and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's like we don't examine it and we don't bring it to the forefront because something in us has held so much shame around it for so long for some reason.
Oh yeah. Shame is so dangerous. Shame prevents us from healing, like properly healing. So anytime I feel shame, I really have to ask it. I'm like, what are you really? You know, what is here? And how can I just like support that part of me that feels so much shame? And it's usually from, you know, whether it's like parents or family or school or whatever, that like that is the root source of like laying that judgment on, so the shame comes up. But I really have to take care of that part of me. You know, it's like kind of soothing a child.
A lot of what even has been coming up for me is I've been doing my own in-betweening and working through that sort of stuff is literally like, I'll just say to myself, like, I love you so much. Like, it's mm-hmm. so funny when you suddenly change that dialogue to utmost compassion. Yes. For where you're at.
100%. 100%. It's powerful. It's powerful to say that out loud. I love you so much.
You know, we say that so freely to other people, right? Like, we like literally cash it out. Mm-hmm. But it's like when you turn inward and say that, you're like, I've never really said that often to myself.
And like looked in your own eyes. I often recommend people just look in the mirror, look into your own eyes. If you want to put your hand over your heart, and it's just like, I love you. I love you so, so much. And be with the discomfort, be with the little like, you know, the wiggle use. Yeah. But it's like, no, like, how does that feel? You know, it's really, really powerful.
You know, take this really as you in any direction, whether it's spirituality, whether it's sexuality. But I'm so curious about like what your well-being practice looks like, you know, and what facilitates that.
As of late, you know, I prioritized rest. It's pretty simple, but I make sure to get at least 8 hours of sleep a night. And I say that because, you know, I know a lot of us are trying to get to where we want to go, whether it's a goal, you know, a accolade at work, whatever it is. And we feel like we need to just put our heads down and grind, grind, grind and sacrifice rest. But there's no way that we can sustainably do that without the rest and recharge, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. And so sleep is just so powerful. Not only is it that physical recharge and that, you know, recovery of our cells and all of that, but I do feel like we do a lot of healing in our sleep spiritually and emotionally. So that is number one. I try to get outside as much as possible and take walks. Being in the city now, I'm thankful I'm in Brooklyn because there's a lot of green, but I feel more connected than ever to that which is of the earth and alive. You know, it reminds me of like who I am and where I come from. You know, we're all kind of like from the same thing, and which is amazing. And so even just a walk to see some trees or be by the water, I just, something about it activates me. And then, you know, I am very, very cognizant of what I put in and on my body. So everything from what I eat for my meals, they're mainly plant-based, but I will eat some animal products like, you know, wild fish or grass-fed meats. And then tons of water. I make sure that all of my beauty products or things that I put on my skin are non-toxic. I try my very, very best. And then I also just like monitor what I'm taking in. So whether that's audio, music, podcast, whether I'm watching on TV, I make sure that like I have like a full check-in with myself. I'm like, does this feel good? Does this feel nourishing? Does this cause me stress? Does, you know, like if I'm going to watch something violent before I go to bed, like I'm not going to feel good. You know, I'm not going to get a restful night's sleep. My nervous system is going to be activated. And so I'm pretty strict about that, because whether I realize it or not, it's programming. You know, it's programming me in some way. So I'm very, very cognizant of that. And then, you know, just this season, feeling more than ever the need to just kind of turn inward and be a bit more present, meaning off of social media. I'm still on social, but I'm pulling back a little bit. I've just been called to kind of like actually be in this moment without capturing it. So that has been really nourishing for me and contributed to my well-being. And it just helps my relationships too, because I'm really able to pour more energy into what those relationships might be asking for. More time, more energy, more conversation. So that's been incredibly important.
Do you think, you know, the first question that kind of popped into my head as you were saying that was, do you think that because of what's been going on in this past year and a half, that has like emphasized itself even more, like what you take in, the quality time that you do want to be spending with people? Like, you know, you and Krista are no longer in the same city. So, you know, do you feel as though that kind of perpetuated that sort of growth?
Yeah, this past year was so life-changing for so many different reasons, and put things into perspective in a way that I've never experienced before. And for me, I got really clear with myself on what's important. My relationships are incredibly important with family and friends and Sean. My health, both mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, is incredibly important. And just some of the things that aren't as important or don't fill me up as much have kind of just fallen away. You know, we used to travel, for example, for the podcast all the time, which was unreal. So fun to meet people in person. And I hope we can do that at some point again. But I also really appreciated the power of us connecting virtually too. You know, we were able to meet more people across the whole world and connect in a way during a time that was just much needed. So it just kind of fell to the wayside, that need to like always be on tour and always be relevant and always doing this. It's like, let's settle into like ourselves and trust that that is enough, and trust that if we need to pull back a little bit, maybe personally for some things and not process so publicly, that that's actually really good for everyone.
You know, I'm really excited. I want you to tell us a little bit about this course. I want to hear more about Sacredness of Being Single, and I want you to kind of tease us a little bit about what we can get out of this course with you.
Yeah, this is a 6-week program, and we have a live call every single week. It's our Sunday circle is what I called it. When I do it again, which will be next year, you know, we'll pick the day that will happen. But this program is really a self-study with a community support system and my guidance and support through 6 different stages that I feel like will support you in walking back to yourself. So that involves, you know, identifying the pressures that you are perceiving to find a partner, to move out of that in-between, and how we can release the pressure, because so much of that is not ours. Naming the fears, like getting really, really real about like, okay, what are these fears that are running my life right now that are causing me to live in desperation for this person to finally arrive in my life? And then we work on releasing the needs like we talked about in this interview, and then really illuminating the purpose. You know, the purpose, I feel like once I understood or at least had a glimmer of what this purpose in the season is, I was like, oh, I'm so in. I am here for it. I am present to it. I don't want to get out of it. I don't want to rush out of it. I trust the timing of my life. That's a really, really powerful week. And then we date ourselves, which is one of my favorites and something that completely changed my life and how I felt about myself. And then we create magnetism. So I believe that all the work that we do in the program and continue to practice is really just creating a beautifully magnetic energy field around you. And it's simple, but super, super powerful. And then each week people will receive a special meditation from me, a writing exercise, an integration practice, affirmations, and more. So yeah, it's a really, really full program, and there's a lot of kind of blank space, I'd like to call it. It's like, I don't have you doing homework 7 days a week. You know, it's like you get your integration practice, you get your writing exercises, meditation, and then you do that as much as you want, repeat it as much as you want. But these concepts each week, I really wanted the girls to be with and allow it to like live in their bodies and allow them to purge whatever was coming up around these ideas, these stories, these fears, the pressures. And so much of this, I was like, am I doing enough in this program? And it was more than enough. And so much of the blank space left room for the healing, the ahas, and the connection. So yeah, it's powerful. We're doing it once a year. I decided against making it an evergreen offering for people to do on their own because I just found that the most powerful piece of this program is the connection with one another and with me each week live. So expect it spring of 2022. You can sign up for the wait list coming up. So you can just bookmark almost30.com and there'll be information on there. But yeah, it poured out of me, this program, one day over the summer of 2020. And I kind of don't remember like channeling this program at all. It's very weird. But it was something that clearly just wanted to be born. And now it's out in the world. And over 80 women were in the first round of the program and just are feeling so incredible and magnetic.
I'm really happy that you decided to keep it annually and like really structure the community around that, because as we've been threading through this whole conversation, this in-betweening feels so lonely, that to realize that so many other people are standing with you,
yes,
is just a really vital piece of the puzzle. So I love that you did that. And yeah, this really just feels like a little bit of a guidebook, but I hesitate saying guidebook because I find that the entire point of this is to really trudge your own way and be okay and lean into the uncertainty of it. But it feels like finally somebody's talking about the in-between, you know, and touching on it and saying, hey, these things might facilitate you, but like take what you want. I really want to encourage anybody listening that if you are feeling called to this, like if this conversation really struck out to you in some way, to really please check out this course, because I know that you've helped so many, so many incredible people just feel much more in their own.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, it's been one of the most fulfilling things that I've created, and it's really not me. You know what I mean? Like, it's me, but it's not me.
Oh yeah. Like, no, this is the higher power we're talking about.
You create and you get out of the way. So I'm just happy it's been a positive influence on people.
My last question for you. What is your advice for somebody out there who might be struggling with cultivating a deeper relationship? What's something that you want them to know? You know, what's a token of hope that you can give somebody right now?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we are so hard on ourselves as we approach this quote, like work. We judge how we do it, how often we do it, why we do it, and the things that we uncover as we do it. And I just want to encourage people to acknowledge when you're judging yourself, when you're being hard on yourself, and ask that part of you that's underneath the judgment to tell you what that really is. It sounds crazy because you're like talking to yourself. But there is an inner child that has been neglected, abandoned, not seen, never heard, hurt at some point, who is speaking through those moments of shame, of fear, fill in the blank. And so if we can just soften in this process and not be so hard on ourselves and not judge every point in this process, and really, as our coach Aaron Rose says, love the one who is, you know, fill in the blank, love the one who is full of shame, love the one who is scared, love the one who is unwilling to take the next step, love the one who is, that will change the way you do the work. The way you do the work is the work. Because if you really judge yourself through the process, I'm not really sure what this work is for then, you know.
Lindsay, thank you so much for just joining us in conversation today. And I think, you know, if anything, I so appreciate the permission that you've just given everybody. There's so much freedom in that. And so I think this episode is going to just help so many people out who are on their paths and in the throes of betweening. So I so appreciate your insight. Please tell us where we can connect with you, where we can find your amazing work, your podcast. Share the deets.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. This was so much fun. I feel like a really unique conversation that I'm not always having. So thank you for asking incredible questions. You can find Almost 30 anywhere you listen to podcasts. I have my episode, The Sacredness of Being Single, as well as follow-up episodes to The Sacredness of Being Single on our channel. So just make sure you subscribe and then just search for Sacredness of Being Single. It should pop up. You can go to almost30.com and stay tuned. We'll have a wait list up for those that are interested in the Sacredness of Being Single program that will go live again next year, 2022. And I'm at Lindsay Simcik, S-I-M-C-I-K on Instagram. Please feel free to DM me, ask me any questions about this season. I'm here to support. And then my website is lindsaysimcik.co.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. I can't wait for other people to dive right in and feel less alone.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Bedside Podcast. If you liked this episode and want to follow along with similar stories and interviews, be sure to check out our Instagram at The Bedside and thebedside.co online. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and of course, share with your friends. It's the best way you can support us and our good sex mission. Thank you for listening.